Chapter 28. Devereaux let me use the phone in her office. Not a democracy. Not yet. But we were getting there. She found the number Monroe had left for her, and she dialed it for me, and she told whoever answered that Sheriff Elizabeth Devereaux was on the line for Major Duncan Monroe. Then she handed the receiver to me and vacated her chair and the room. I sat down behind her desk with nothing but dead air in my ear and the remnant of her body heat on my back. I waited. The silence hissed at me. The Army did not play hold music, not back in 1997. Then a minute later there was a plastic click and clatter as a handset was scooped up off a desk and a voice said, "Sheriff Devereaux, this is Major Monroe. How are you?" The voice was hard and brisk and hyper-competent, but it had an undertone of good cheer in it. But then, I figured anyone would be happy to get a call from Elizabeth Devereaux. I said, "Monroe?" He said, "I'm sorry, I was expecting Elizabeth Devereaux." "Well, sadly, you didn't get her," I said. "My name is Reacher. I'm using the sheriff's phone right now. I'm with the 396th. Currently TDY with 110th. We're of equal rank." Monroe said, "Jack Reacher? I've heard of you, of course. How can I help you?" "Did Garber tell you he was sending an undercover guy to town?" "Nah, but I guessed he would. That would be you, right? Tasked to snoop on the locals? Which must be going pretty well, seeing as you're calling from the sheriff's phone. Which must be fun, in a way. People here say she's a real looker. Although they also say she's a lesbian. You got an opinion on any of that?" "That stuff is none of your business, Monroe." "Call me Duncan, okay?" "No, thanks. I'll call you Monroe." "Sure. How can I help you?" "We've got shit happening out here. There was a guy shot to death this morning. Close to your fence, northwestern quadrant. Unknown assailant, but probably a military round, and definitely a half-assed attempt to patch the fatal wound with a GI field dressing." "What? Someone shot a guy and then gave him first aid? Sounds like a civilian accident to me." "I hoped you weren't going to be that predictable. How do you explain the round and the dressing?" "Remington 223 in a surplus store. And two guys were beat up before that by someone they swear was a soldier." "Not a soldier based at Kellam." "Really? How many Kellam personnel can you vouch for in terms of their exact whereabouts this morning?" "All of them," Monroe said.
"Literally?"
"Yes, literally," he said. "We've got Alpha Company overseas as of 5 days ago, and I've got everyone else confined to quarters, or else sitting in the mess hall or the officers' club. There's a good MP staff here, and they're watching everyone, while also watching each other. I can guarantee no one left the base this morning, or since I got here, for that matter."
"Is that your standard operating procedure?"
"It's my secret weapon. Sitting down all day, no reading, no television, no nothing, sooner or later, someone talks, out of sheer boredom. Never fails. My arm-breaking days are over. I learned that time is my friend."
"Tell me again," I said. "This is very important. You're absolutely sure no one left the base this morning, or last night, not even under secret orders? Maybe local, or from Benning, or maybe even from the Pentagon? I'm serious here, and don't bullshit a bullshitter."
"I'm sure," Monroe said. "I guarantee it. On my mother's grave. I know how to do this stuff, you know. Give me that, at least."
"Okay," I said.
Monroe asked, "Who was the dead guy?"
"No ID at this time. Civilian, almost certainly."
"Near the fence?"
"Same as the guys that got beat up. like a quarantine zone. That's ridiculous. That's not happening. I know that for sure. We both went quiet for a second, and then I asked, "What else do you know for sure?" "I can't tell you. Orders are to keep this thing tighter than a fish's butt." "Let's play 20 questions." "Let's not." "The short version, 3 questions, yes or no answers." "Don't put me on the spot, okay?" "We're both on the spot already. Don't you see that? We've got a real mess here. And either it's in there with you or it's out here with me. So sooner or later, one of us is going to have to help the other. We might as well start now." Silence, then. "Okay, Jesus. 3 questions. Did they tell you about the car?" "Yes." "Did anyone mention money from Kosovo as a possible motive?" "Yes." "Did they tell you about 2 other dead women?" "No." "What other dead women?" "Last year, local, same M.O., cutthroats." "Connected?" "Probably." "Jesus." "No, nobody said a word." "Do you have written records of Bravo Company's movements, June and November last year?" "That's your 4th question." "We're just chatting now. 2 officers, equal rank, just shooting the shit. The game is over." "There are no records of Bravo Company's movements here. They're operating under special ops protocols. Therefore, everything is filed at Fort Bragg. It would take the biggest subpoena you ever saw just to get a look at the outside of the file cabinet." I asked, "You making any general progress there?" No answer. I asked, "How long does it normally take for your secret weapon to work?" He said, "It's usually much faster than this." I didn't answer, and there was more dead air and some quiet breathing. And then Monroe said, "Listen, Reacher, I guess this is hardly worth talking about, because you're just going to think, well, what else would I say? Because we both know I was sent here to cover someone's ass. But I'm not like that. Never have been. And from what I know so far, none of our guys killed any women. Not this month, or November, or June. That's how it looks right now."